who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leads us friendless in an autumn of wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born, King of the Jews?" After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. Today we light the third candle of Advent, the candle of joy. With this candle, we remember and celebrate that the only lasting joy to be found in life is through Christ our Lord. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Thank you. right. So I want to introduce you. Bob and Linda Muth. These guys, if y'all can kind of maybe right here in front. Bob and Linda were here at our church, and then they moved to Midland, and they missed me, and they came back. Is that pretty much how it worked? Yeah. And Jim and BJ Hawkins over here, and all of them have been coming. I'm going to come around in front here. All of them have been coming for several months to our church, came to our discovery class a few weeks ago, and come this morning to place their membership in our church here at Wiley, and we're excited about that. You have all accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've been baptized in that faith, and so I just ask you to affirm that again. Is Jesus Christ still your Lord and Savior? Yes. Amen. Will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? Yes. Amen. And I'm going to put on the dreaded mask, and I'm going to come over and shake your hand. How about a fist bump? Welcome to our church. We would normally come greet them, but we're not going to do that. So y'all say hi to them. Everybody just say it right now. Just, hey! All right. Glad that you guys are part of our church family. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. Is there stuff y'all look forward to this time of year? There's a lot of stuff I dread this time of year, but this particular thing I look forward to. I get to say thank you to a very, very special group of people. People that serve day in and day out, week in and week out, planning meals, picking curriculum, putting programs together, and more things than I can even imagine. Even something as simple as making sure the doors unlock. We have an amazing staff, and as the SPRC chair, I get the privilege of saying thank you. You all want to join me? So, as I call out the names, I would like folks to come up front and stay for just a second. Once we get everybody up here, I'd like to offer a word of prayer. So, in no particular order, Trevor, could you please come on back up, sir? And Miss Teresa, if you could make your way up this way. Miss Shauna, if you're in, please come on up. Miss Carlene Cram, I got the name right this time. Thank you very much, Shug. I can't believe I jacked that up last year, I'm telling you. Naomi, if you're in. Linda, I think Larry and Brenda have gone on vacation. If they're not in, they're staying home. Well, virtually, Larry and Brenda. Jeff Hatcher. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there, Jeff Hatcher. Janice is staying home. Well, virtually, Miss Janice. We've got Carlton and Cindy. Virtual. That's okay. That's all good. Brent. Is Brent in the house? Nope. Billy. I thought I saw Billy wandering the halls a little while ago. And if I could get Arliss to make a quick trip out of the booth. I don't have the words to say thank you to these people. I really don't. But this time of year, the generosity from the congregation helps me look good, and I need a lot of help. So, if you all would join me, Heavenly Father, I thank you for these servants. I pray that you would bless the work of their hands, multiply their efforts. Father, I pray that you would be be with us in power and authority and guide the steps of this church. Help us to be a mighty force in your service. Bless them and keep them, Lord, to the year to come. It's in your name I pray. Amen. And if I could invite the children to please come forward for Carlene's message.
With me. I am wondering how many of you are keeping track of the days till Christmas with some sort of advent calendar at home? Are you? Are you noticing it's just a little over a week before Christmas? It's coming up. Well, one of the things we're doing is we are waiting. We are waiting for Jesus' birthday, which is Christmas. And as we are waiting, we are concentrating on Jesus, and we are thinking about him, and we are seeing how we can be more like Jesus. And this week, we're supposed to be focusing on the word joy. Yes, we lit the joy candle this morning, and so we're going to focus on the word joy. And I got to thinking, how can we remember joy? And I looked at the word, and I saw the J, and I thought, J is for Jesus. Jesus came down on earth, and he was born, and we celebrate that on Christmas. So I'm going to remember joy with the J by thinking of Jesus. And then there's the O. And I thought, oh, well, it makes sense that the reason why Jesus came down was not for presents. It wasn't for our Christmas trees and our lights. It wasn't even for our big meal. It was to help others. So the O for joy represents others. And we can pray for others. You know, there's people out there who are sad or they're hurting or they're sick. You can pray for each one of them or help them. If there's some way you can do some help, you do that. And then why was the easiest one to come up with, because I thought of you and 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 you. And I thought, Jesus loves you. Jesus thinks you are magnificent. He thinks you are special. He thinks you are the most wonderful thing. You make him happy. So the why represents all of you. So we're going to think, when we see joy or think of joy, I want to think of Jesus like the J. Others, like the O, and remember that you are loved by Jesus. And the verse I chose was Habakkuk 3:18. I will take joy in the God of my salvation, who is Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. He gave us the greatest gift of all, himself. And we pray for others, others who are sad, hurting, sick, and need help. We care about them, and you do too. Please give them peace. God, you made each of these yous in front of me and at home, and they are so special and so loved by you. Help them to know that each and every day. This I pray in your name. Amen.
Good morning, church family. Good morning. Good morning for you guys that are in your homes this morning. God bless you. You know, it's good to see people join even during a pandemic, which tells me Jesus is still moving, right? Amen. We need to embrace that. Just a quick update on our Christmas workshop, Take Home Gifts. Carlene and crew assembled 200 bags for kids to take home, and there's just a couple of them left. So Jim, you're too old. You can't have one of them. I just want to let you know that. But, man, it's just a great response, and kids are able to love on their families and friends by making those gifts. So that was a huge success. Today at 6 p.m., there is a citywide prayer meeting by Zoom. I've never said that before. But that's an opportunity for the body of Christ to get together and seek the Lord together. And there's over 30 churches that are participating in that. Jeff, is this a One Kingdom sponsored event? So that's at 6 p.m., and Jeff sent his weekly email out, and there's a link to that Zoom meeting through his email. So if you want to join in on that, that's at 6 p.m. this evening. And it's with a heavy heart that Jeff has decided, with the staff support, that we will not have a Christmas Eve service this year. And but put it on your calendars for 2021. Unless Jesus comes back, and then we don't care about a Christmas Eve service. So anyway, we just want people to be safe and enjoy time with their families. So let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. I want to encourage you in your personal prayer time to remember the Sharp family. Bob Sharp passed away Friday, I believe, from COVID complications. And Janie is his spouse. And Karen Cohen is their daughter. And so just lift them up in prayer. Also, continue to pray for Ken Keefe. He is out of the hospital. He was in the hospital because of COVID issues, and he's still struggling. His lungs are still struggling as he continues to recover. So lift him up as well. Does anybody else need prayer this morning for anything? You raised your hand. I'm going to make you stand because you did that. If you don't mind, if you need prayer this morning for something, let's just stand and go to the Lord. Anybody? Anybody else need prayer for anything this morning? Church body, we're not going to surround them. Let's extend the hand towards someone who's standing. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Father, we are so grateful, God, that you never change. Lord, you don't move like a shifting shadow. You're so constant, so consistent. God, regardless of our circumstances, you're still God. Jesus is still King. God, you're still on the throne. Jesus, you're still at the Father's right hand. And so we appeal to you today and intercede on behalf of the Sharp family. Lord, I pray for comfort for Janie, comfort for Karen, comfort for the rest of the family. Lord, I'm just going to be honest. I hate this virus. I despise it. robs people of life. It robs family members of being with their loved ones as they spend time in the hospital. Lord, we just ask that you move against that for your glory. We comfort the Sharp family, God. I lift up Ken Keefe to you this morning. I pray for continued healing for those lungs. Just bless him. I know there's been a number in our congregation that have recovered, and Lord, I pray for continued good recovery, continued good health for them. And Father, I lift those who are standing this morning. Lord, you know quite well the issues, far better than they know the issues and the needs. And so, Lord, I ask that you move, God, and just provide provision for them, spiritual, physical, perhaps, emotional provision. I just pray for a holy calm and a holy peace to rest on them. And, Lord, I'm almost certain there are some of us in here who need you to move in our lives as well. And God, I just pray that you move. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you do the will of the Father in our hearts this morning. Father, I just thank you for the generosity of this fellowship. I thank you for the unity that we're allowed to walk in. God, we actually like each other. And God, I'm grateful for that. Father, I pray that continue during this time. And Lord, I pray for this connection between those who are not able to come and those that are in this room. And Lord, I pray against what the enemy would do to try to stand in the way and God, cause people to want to drift away. God, I pray for supernatural hedge protection for every home that represents the body of Christ at Wiley United Methodist Church. God, protect what you're doing, God, for your glory. And Father, we praise you for it. And Lord, as we move forward, God, just give us wisdom, give us discernment. Help us to be better ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ during this time. Lord, and above all, bless us so we can bless others. We thank you for your faithfulness. And we pray the prayer of Jesus you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You would like to give your offering at this time, you can do that as we worship, and you can also give online if you'd like to do that. God bless you. Thank you for your faithfulness.
celebrating Jesus. Everything's about him, but at the end of it, I heard a commercial the other day. They were going, and you know what Christmas is all about? And inside I was going, Jesus. And they said something else. I don't know what they said. I thought, oh no, you had that wrong. I wish I could tell you. I had that wrong. I want you to do something with me. Within all this craziness, this will all end. I was thinking about this driving here today. Someday this will all end. And you know what's going to be left? It's going to be us gathered around the throne, still singing praises to God. That never changes. That will never change. And we're going to keep it going. We're going to keep it going because that's what we do here on earth. We worship God. So in your mind's eye, in your spirit, just go there around the throne with all of the great cloud of witnesses that are already there. Go there in your spirit.
good to have everyone with us this morning, and for our live stream, we are excited that everyone is here. If you are visiting with us, if you are our guest for the first time, we would love to know that. You can, whether you're a member or a guest, you can register through our app, and we'd love to know that you're here. And if you are our guest, please register, and I'd love to get to know you. At the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer and have a gift for you, and would love to meet you. If you turn with me to Matthew 2, as you're turning there, I want to say, you know, the rest of the staff does not get, they don't get the privilege of having a mic to thank you. I want to thank you, you know, just several things about our church. It's been coming to my mind, my heart here lately. I want to thank you guys for your love to us. You know, the love offering that you give us generally this time of year is above and beyond. It means, I know it means so much to each one of us that you think of us. You know, during, I was thinking that we started the live stream option the middle of March. Let that sink in just a second. And many of you, I was thinking this week, many of you I have not laid eyes on since the middle of March. And I just want to tell you, first of all, that's okay. It's okay. This is not a guilt thing. I just want you to know that grieves me to not see you, to not see faces, and to not be able to hug, even if we gather together, the ones who are here in the room, you know, to not be able to hug and to fully embrace being the body of Christ. I mean, that just grieves me because I love you guys so deeply, and I cannot wait for the time when everyone feels safe to come back out and to be together. And as Billy mentioned earlier, we're gonna pray in that direction today at 6 on that Zoom call. If you don't get my email or didn't get my email with that link, you can email me directly, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org, the letter J, Hatcher, and I will get you that link. I'll check my email this afternoon to make sure that that there's not any others that I need to send that to. But, man, I'm ready for this to be gone because I miss all of you. But I just want to thank you. I tell people we are not a perfect church. It doesn't exist such a thing because, you know, the problem with church is we make up the church, people, and we're all broken. We all are subject to the rages of sin, but this is a great church. It's not a perfect church, but this is a great church, and I'm so blessed to be a part of it. So thank you. Thank each one of you on behalf of our staff. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is this one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea. They're quoting Old Testament prophecy here. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, "For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." And that's if you want to make a note there, that is quoting Micah 5:2. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Pretty slick, huh? After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you that this is not just some elaborate story that someone made up, but that you really did it. We ask you, Holy Spirit, now to come and to be in our midst here, to be in every home, to speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So, ran across this, and see if you can relate to a little child. Property laws according to a toddler. Property laws according to a toddler. Number one, if I like it, it's mine. Number two, if it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I had it a little while ago, it's mine. If it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. If I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. If it looks just like mine, it's mine. Number eight, if I saw it first, it's mine. If you are playing with something and you put it down, it automatically becomes mine. And number 10, property laws according to a toddler. If it's broken, it's yours. So I know I've got some kindergarten teachers and some Mother's Day Out teachers out there. You're going, yeah, that's pretty much it. All right, we are in the third week of our Advent series, summer series called Overcomers. Overcomers. And this may seem a little odd today. This title today is Overcoming Self-Centeredness. Overcoming Self-Centeredness. You know, I say this pretty often. We as Christians, we're not called to be consumers. We're called to be servants. Jesus said, I've come to serve, not to be served. And we're to follow the example of Christ. John the Baptist, as he's preparing the way for Jesus in his ministry, people are looking to John the Baptist and they're asking, are you the one? Are you the one we're expecting? And should we follow you? And here's what he said. He, speaking of Jesus, must become greater. I must become less. So this may not sound like this passage today deals with that, but I think it does very much. Self-centeredness and overcoming that. To overcome self-centeredness, church, I believe with all my heart, number one, we must passionately pursue Jesus. I mean, because again, if we are passionately pursuing Jesus, he's a servant. He's a giver. And if that's who we're, if we are disciples of him, if he is our mentor, if he is someone we're trying to emulate, then we will be givers. We must passionately pursue Jesus. These magi, in verse 1 and 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, magi, wise men is another translation, from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is this one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. So first let me say this about this star, this Bethlehem star. Did you know that on December the 21st, anybody heard this, December the 21st of this year? Did you know that that star that they have documented and they believe is the same star these wise men followed, did you know it's going to appear? It only appears approximately every 800 years. It will appear on December the 21st. I've got, and there's a software program. I don't have the name written down. I've got it on my computer, and I'll be happy to share that with you. It's free. You can calculate any time in history. You can map what the sky is going to look like. And Cheryl and I were last night. We're looking, and I showed her this. I believe it's Jupiter and Saturn will align on December the 21st, and will be this bright star. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's going to happen in our southwest sky. Man, I'm pumped. I'm ready. Anybody else want to see that? I actually ordered a telescope. I'm not sure. Do you have to plug those things in? What? I'm not even sure which end to look in. But I want to see it. And there's also a website called BethlehemStar.com that you can go to that tells you a lot more about the star and so on and so forth. But I want to correct a few things that we have just about this story that we have come to believe. You know, if you've ever watched from the, you know, every children's program from the time you're a little child, you know, the children come out and they got the white robes and they got the little halos on, and they have somebody dressed up as the three kings and all the stuff. And I mean, that's, everyone's pretty similar. Well, the Bible doesn't say, and a few things that we have come to believe, the Bible doesn't say. First of all, it doesn't say there was three of these. We've kind of come to think, well, there was three gifts, you know, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So maybe that meant each king or each wise man brought a gift. So that's where I guess that comes from. It doesn't say that they were kings. The word magi, wise men, they were of certain standing. They were probably very important people of the time, but they nowhere does it say that they were kings. They didn't come to see the baby Jesus in the manger. Did you know that? It probably took somewhere between a year or two before they came and saw the child. Number one, we know that because Herod, he orders all of the male children, Jewish children, from 2 years old and younger killed, because he knows that, you know, that should get it. Some male child of the Jews under 2 years old should get it. Well, why would he do that unless he knew that the child could be up to 2 years old? So a few things that that are important for us, I think, to kind of unpack there a little bit. And also, it seems to be that these wise men seem to be Gentiles. You know, they're looking for the King of the Jews, and they're asking. They don't know the prophetic word that he would be born in Bethlehem. They're asking the Jews, where does it say that this King of the Jews is supposed to be born? Seems to indicate that they were Gentiles, and they came a long distance. It possibly a journey that took even up to 2 years from the east. If you do a Google map of Jerusalem and look to the east, you got all these, you know, you got Iran and Iraq, and you got Saudi Arabia, and you got all these Jordan, you got all these countries to the east of Jerusalem. So, and that's where these wise men probably came from. It was probably a pretty good journey and a pretty hazardous journey, but they were pursuing this King of the Jews that they were made aware of. So I believe that that doesn't sound very, very self-centered. It sounds like they were seeking something that they knew to be a special event. So how about us, church? I mean, are we pursuing Jesus? I mean, is that something that it took effort, took energy? They took a segment of their life and were in pursuit. They wanted to see this king. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and it moves me to my next point, and we have come to worship him. To overcome self-centeredness, we must joyfully bow down and worship him when we find him. So they were passionately pursuing this king of the Jews. And when they found him, it says in verse 2, we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. In verse 10, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. This journey that they had been on, this pursuit of the king, had come to a conclusion. Verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. When you and I want to say this about pursuing, if you really want to get theological into our journey with the Lord, yes, we pursue him, but he pursues us. Did you know that? First of all, Jesus, God sent Jesus. He came, and that whole deal, he was in pursuit of hearts, the hearts of man. He was in pursuit of that. And so when they found him, they bowed down and worshiped him. Then you flip all the way forward to after Christ has become a man and he has his ministry, he's crucified, he's resurrected. In Matthew 28, it says, when the disciples saw the resurrected Jesus, what did they do? They worshiped him. They worshiped him. So again, I ask the question, how about us? Are we in pursuit of this King of Kings in our lives? I mean, there's so many things, and some of them are good. There's so many things that can distract us. Do you think the Magi, there was nothing else for them to do? You think, hey, we ain't got nothing else to do. We're just killing time here, so let's spend a year or two. Let's look for this King of the Jews. No, there was a very deliberate, intentional, passionate pursuit of him. When they came upon him, they bowed down and worshiped him. So how about us, church? I mean, if it's good enough for the Magi, and have y'all seen the bumper stickers, or sometimes you see it on a sign, it says, wise men still seek him. You've seen that? I believe that's true. And men as in men and women. All right, thirdly, to overcome self-centeredness, we must follow God's example and sacrificially give. So these wise men, these magi, they're passionately pursuing Jesus. When they find him, they bow down and they joyfully worship him, and then instinctively they just give. They give. And I feel so humbled, as I mentioned earlier. Man, this church, and you know where you fit in this statement. You, each one of us, we know where we fit in this statement, but I'm just telling you as a whole, this church are givers. I struggle sometimes because this fall season, there's so many things that we are doing in ministry that it just, I asked Naomi last year, if we can move our shoebox collection up, start it. When do we start that? In August? July, August? Yeah. And because we were doing it, you know, right? I mean, you got the shoeboxes, you got the angel tree, you got the Turkey Tuesday, and then y'all are asked to consider a love offering to the staff, and I'm just like, whoo! You know, I sometimes just think, man, I don't want to wear you guys out with things that we're doing and asking, but I just tell you, I'm blown away at the faithfulness of this church. I'm blown away because, we, 350, I don't remember I think our total was about $3,500 or so we paid for just for turkeys. And then I see people, you know, rolling up bicycles out here and all kinds of stuff for these children. I think you need to hear some of this. And I'm going to brag on Linda and Naomi. We had, because of the COVID, we had 44 angels that didn't get taken off the tree. And so I put out a deal and said, hey, if you can't, don't feel comfortable coming and getting an angel, you can contribute online. And we had a whole bunch of you that did that. But somebody had to buy the gifts. Poor Naomi and Linda, you know, they were just sitting in their computer for a couple of days, kind of going, you know. You try ordering angels for 44 kids and make sure they're all the gifts get here in time to get them to the Salvation Army and all. They did all that, and with y'all's, many of your contributions, and many of you brought your own angels, but so we got all 100 of our angels, praise God, we got them filled. And when they notified Salvation Army, I think I'm telling this right, when they notified Salvation Army, the lady broke down and cried. Probably got a lot of angels left hanging on the tree around our city. But our 100 got filled. Now, I don't say that bragging. I'm just saying you guys, I believe for the most part, you guys get it. But when we're pursuing Jesus and when we find him and we bow down and we worship him and he's our Lord and our Savior, it's a natural thing to give, to share that, not just monetarily, but just in service and in loving people. And Teresa said it with our children, you know, man, there's people that are grieving this time of year. There may be a little child at school with one of their little friends that may not have anything under their Christmas tree. Give those little kids a hug. I mean, there's so many ways that we can follow God's example and sacrificially give. The wise men, the magi, they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. It was an instinctive response to this king of the Jews that they found and they worshiped, and now we give. Why do we give? Because he gives. God gave Jesus. He became flesh. Jesus' own words, John 3:16, probably the most well-known scripture. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his one and only son, Jesus, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God is a giver, and he calls us to be givers. And I'm not just talking about finances, even though that's part of the equation. God's motive was love, for God so loved. And his gift was of himself. God so loved that he gave himself. Why? Because he wants us to have life. He wants us to have life. And I didn't plan on going here, but I will go here anyway. You know, I did a funeral for Billy's mom Thursday. And it's not my place to assign eternal positioning for people. That's not my job. But sometimes it's just so obvious you just can't miss it. With Gladys Burfield, I know she's with Jesus. Because, I mean, her life just oozed Jesus. She loved people. And she is enjoying her eternal reward now. And I can say that about so many of the people who I've done funerals for, but that's the most recent one. So, for God so loved that he gave himself. How about us, church? Are we givers? Do we open our treasures and present them to him? And I say this a lot, but when we do those, when you do an angel tree, when you take, we took probably about 175 of our 350 turkeys went to the food pantry. And when I went to the food pantry to drop off our last supply, I know a couple of us had already been over there with turkeys, and I took the last ones that were left over from Carver over there. There was a double line for most of it. All the way, y'all know the old bill, the old Mac Eplins over there. They were all the way, they couldn't go in. Had to stay in their car. They were all the way circled around that whole place. Double line until the very end where they had to kind of merge into one line. People desperately needing a meal. And we didn't supply turkeys. We shared the love of Jesus. Do we open our treasures and present them to him? Self-centeredness, man, it's so easy for us to become consumers. I like this. I don't like that about my church. I wish they did this. I wish it did that. I wish, you know, like, man, if they'd only do this, it was too hot. It was too cold. The sermon was too long. Some of you, you know, probably think that I should preach a lot longer. Robert's one of those that's told me he'd like me to. I'm just kidding. All right, is this on? Is anybody out there? But no, self-centeredness comes so naturally. You remember the property laws according to the toddler? I mean, we kind of have some of that naturally, instinctively in us. But when we find this king of the Jews, when he comes into our heart, things should shift. We should suddenly become servants instead of consumers. Listen to these words out of Philippians, one of my favorite passages, Philippians 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. How are we doing with that, church? Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. And here it is. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. I mean, that's the heart. I mean, we're to overcome this tendency to be self-centered. It's in all of us. We're born with it. But we should overcome that. We should learn that once we have bowed down and worshiped this King who came to provide us life, we should be sacrificially giving, following the example of Christ. And I just want to, once again, I want to tell you, I kind of one of those, I think I'm preaching to the choir today. I really do, because this church is full of those kind of people. And if you're not quite there yet, if this message is convicting you, there's no shame. There's no condemnation. It's just, man, sometimes God, he's kind of whittling on us. He's kind of chipping off the chunks. He's making us more into his image. And part of that is, are we givers? Are we givers? If you just bow your head with me. Father, I thank you that you are a giver. I thank you for that. Father, that star that the Magi followed, you flung that into the sky. You are the creator of heaven and earth. And there is nothing too difficult for you. I know there's hurting people this season, people that are lonely, depressed, fearful. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would move in those situations, move in those hearts and minds, and there would just be a peace, that, like your word says, a peace that transcends our understanding and our circumstances, that you would come and you would just provide peace, and as this word, this Advent word today, joy in the midst of the trial. Help us to overcome any self-centeredness in us. It's all about you, Jesus. We love you and we trust you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we stand to close together today, whether you're here in the room or whether you're in your home live stream, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, man, you don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing, because he can walk with us through anything we face. So contact me. Let me know. Let's talk about it as we close.
Take my place.
try to join us. On coming to the house, the Magi saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshiped him. He is worthy of our worship. Go and tell someone we are dismissed. God bless you.
This is amazing grace.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. A book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.